everyone. My name is Carolyn Hayes, film critic and journalist, and this is my interview for K-Crush American Magazine for the 2024 Jeonju International Film Festival. And I'm here with director Jihye Won to talk about her documentary, Voices, which documents the experiences of women who survived the Jeju massacre that took place in 1948, particularly April the 3rd. And this is a date that has significance for the people of Jeju Island because it changed their lives irrevocably. And it relates to the Korean War, which lasted from 1950 to 1953, though technically not really because it's still an armistice. But I appreciate Director G for really giving a female perspective on how this massacre and everything that followed afterwards affected the women of the island. So first of all, thank you, Director G, for joining me.
Nice to meet you.
So let me start. My first question is, you started the film with some of the descendants of those who were killed in 1948 performing Jaisa, which is the ancestral rites. Can you talk about beginning the film there?
한국 문화에서는 돌아가신 분들을 위해서 그 돌아가신 날에 제사를 지내는 의식이 있다. 근데 제주에서는 한날 한시에 대량 학살된 마을이 많았기 때문에 굉장히 마을마다 200명, 200가구, 뭐 150가구 이렇게 한날 한시에 고인을 기리는 의식들을 하는 마을이 많다.
In Korea, we have this ancestral rites, like a memorial service, on the day of they passed away. Mm. But in Jeju, particularly because of all this communal massacre, that there are more than 100 or 150 households, that they have this memorial service on the same day.
근데 영화에서 첫 장면에 들어간 그 제사 의식은 토산이라는 마을에서 이제 마을 사람들이 지내는 제사인데 그걸 첫 장면으로 활용한 것은 그런 그 제주에서 있었던 대량 학살을 보여주는 하나의 신이기도 하지만 주인공인 김은순 할머니로 자연스럽게 이어갈 수 있는 그런 장면이었기 때문에 맨 처음 위치를 시켰다.
So the beginning montage of these ancestral riots, that's people in Tosani area, and so that kind of shows the whole massacre and trauma of the community first, but also that scene naturally leads to one of the main characters, Kim Eun-sung. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why she used that.
Kim Eun-sung, she's the one who was 14 years old in 1948, and her older sister was killed in the massacre. And she is, like all of the women in this film, she suffers from severe PTSD. She doesn't want to talk about it. Talk about making her the central main subject of the documentary first.
굉장히 심각한 후유 장애증을 앓고 있는데 김은수 할머니가 근데 거기에 대해서 얘기를 하려고 하지 않으시고 근데 그 할머니를 주인공으로 중요한 캐릭터로 선정한 그런 이유.
존댓말을 해야 되겠구나. 내 목소리가 나가는 거잖아. 팟캐스트. 김은순 할머니는 제주도에서 그러니까 그 달빛 사건, 토산리의 달빛 사건으로 사람들이 기억하는 유일한 생존자고 물론 트라우마로 인해서 진짜 본인이 경험했던 거를 얘기 안 할 수도 있다. 라는 그런 전제를 깔고 저희가 섭외를 하긴 했는데 왜 그럼에도 불구하고 말씀을 안 하실 수도 있는데 이분을 꼭 등장인물로 저희가 담아야 되겠다라고 생각한 이유는 뭐냐면 저희 영화 초반에 나오는 문구대로 여성은 여성의 기억 방식 중에 하나는 침묵이다 이런 문구가 있었기 때문에 그 고통을 침묵 속에 담아두고 또 평생 침묵 속에서 살 수밖에 없는 그 제주 4.3을 겪은 여성들을 대변하는 인물이었기 때문에 그분이 증언을 하시든 안 하시든 굉장히 저희 영화에는 소중한 인물이었기 때문에 저희가 캐스팅을 했습니다.
So, Kim Eun-sung is the sole survivor of this massacre that we call Moon Knight massacre in Tosani. So she's, since she's a sole survivor, and even if she doesn't want to give a talk, in the beginning of our film, it said that the way the female remember the trauma, the gesture is silence.
Mm-hmm.
So whether she gives us a candid testimony or not, that can be a part of the story. So she, we thought that she is really important, even if she doesn't actually tell us her story. So that's why we decided to cast her.
Yeah, there is a quote in the film, silence became the primary mode of remembrance for the women. But, it's taken from, I think, a poem or a book called Gold Memories of the War by Cho Un. And I thought it was a really profound quote to add in, because as you were just saying, her silence is her testimony. You know, there's like the fact that she still can't speak is proof of how traumatic it was, is proof of how profound the impact was, not only on her, but the women in the film. And what you do at the beginning of the film is there's voices of women talking, and then it just goes silent. And that kind of speaks to the atmosphere of how Jeju Island changed at that time.
그 앞부분에, 앞부분은 이해하셨죠. 그래서 그 침묵 자체가 이 그런 증언의 방식이다라는 거 굉장히 효과적이라고 보고, 그래서 초반 막 보이스 나오다가 딱 침묵을 가잖아요. 굉장히 그 효과적이라고 봅니다.
Yeah, because like they calculated probably close to 25,000 to 30,000 or more people on Jeju Island were killed, and 80% of them were men. And because the women, one of the women in the film says that it became an island of women, that was the researcher, and women as a community are like, they're in, I think in most countries around the world are known as the centerpiece for any community, and especially on an island where they, all the families are so close together and everyone knows each other, they all face hold this collective trauma together. Can you talk about making a film that talks about collective trauma? Because what happened on Jeju Island was collective punishment by the government, and also the U.S. military was involved. It was collective punishment, but the result was also collective trauma.
그래서 그 영화 안에서도 우리 그 연구자가 얘기했듯이 굉장히 많은 사람들이 죽었고, 그중 80% 이상이 남성이었고, 그래서 제주도가 여성의 섬이 되어버렸고, 그리고 이게 꼭 제주도뿐만 아니라 이런 아일랜드, 이 섬 마을에서는 이 여성이 항상 중심의 피겨가 되고, 그들이 굉장히 가깝기 때문에 겪는 모든 것들이 일종의 공동체적 이 트라우마가 된다는 것이죠. 그래서 그런 공동체적 트라우마를 다룬다는 것, 그것에 대해서 좀 얘기를 해달라.
공동체적 트라우마. 한 여인의, 한 개개인의 트라우마가 아니라 공동체적
그렇죠. 트라우마. 섬 전체가 같이 지를 해야 되는.
그 공동체적 트라우마라는 게 굉장히 어떻게 보면은 얘기하기가 힘든 걸 수도 있는데, 근데 제주, 제가 만나본, 저는 영화를 만들면서 제주 사상을 공부하고 많은 사람들의 증언을 통해서 경험한 거에 의하면 공동체의 트라우마는 반드시 있어요. 그 다음에 또 여성들만이 공유할 수 있는 트라우마도 있어요. 근데 그 트라우마가 어떤 내가 트라우마 센터를 가서 뭔가 얘기를 하면서 치유될 수 있는 그런 건 아니라고 생각을 해요. 일단 굉장히 안타깝게도 제주 4.3은 한국 정부를 포함해서 모든 사람들이 공통적으로 원인에 대해서 똑같은 생각을 갖고 있고, 또 거기에 대한 처벌에 대해서 또 똑같은 생각을 갖고 있고, 그런 사건이 아니기 때문에 이 할머니들을 비롯해서 제주 사람들이 갖고 있는 공동체적 트라우마라는 건 한국 역사가 제대로 진상 규명이 되고, 거기에 대해서 모든 온 국민이 인식을 하고 사과를 하거나 또 같이 그들이 겪었었던 거를 공감을 하거나 위로를 해줄 때만이 풀릴 수 있는 공동체적 트라우마다. 개인이 풀 수 있는 게 아니기 때문에 오히려 지적하신 대로 말씀하신 게 굉장히 되게 의미 있는 것 같은데, 공동체적으로 풀 수밖에 없는 드라마인 것 같다.
So it is really hard to talk about communal trauma, but as she was researching this subject during this filmmaking process, she really understood that there is a communal trauma, and also there is a trauma that was experienced by women together.
Mm.
But here in this particular trauma is that individuals are carrying, that's individual traumas, but also communal traumas, but it's not something that they can solve by themselves.
Mm.
There is a whole history of Korean people and government, and when the people acknowledge all these traumas, all these things that women experience together, then make the proper evaluation and make the apologies, you know, all those things have to happen for them to start curing that communal trauma.
조금 보충을 한다면, 특히 여성들의 트라우마에는 제가 느낀 거에는 어떤 고통, 그다음에 수치심, 여자기 때문에 당했었던 어떤 성폭력 같은 거에 대한 수치심, 또 하나는 분노, 이 세 가지 정도가 복합적으로 얽혀 있는 트라우마라고 생각하는데.
And you know, I think that when we talk about this traumas of our individuals as a female, especially there is three things: pain, also there's shame, because of all these sexual assaults, women feels pain, shame from that, and also there is an anger.
근데 그 세 개 중에 그 이건 제 생각인데 수치심이라는 건 그 할머니들이 정말 옛날 그 가부장적인 사회에서 살았었던 분들이기 때문에 지금은 그런 세대가 아님에도 불구하고 그 수치심은 끝까지 가져가실 것 같다라는 그런 생각이 들고 고통은 그건 이미 당하신 거기 때문에 어떻게 치유할 수가 없을 것 같은데 나머지 하나 분노는 우리가 해결해 드릴 수 있는 유일한 거라고 생각을 해요.
So in my personal opinion, the shame is something that rooted deep into their own lives throughout living under this patriarchal society. So it's something they will carry on as long as they live. As for the pain, it's already in the past. So there's nothing we can do. But as for the anger, that's something that we can do something about it now.
그래서 이거는 연구 사상에 대한 연구자뿐만이 아니라 저희처럼 어떤 문화예술 쪽에 종사하는 사람들을 비롯해서 많은 사람들이 어떤 장르 불문하고 할머니들이 그 분노를 표현하실 수 있는 그런 통로 말할 수 있는 기회들의 제공을 많이 한다 그러면 그 분노가 조금 좀 사그라들 수 있지 않을까. 네, 그게 저의 개인적인 생각입니다.
So not only the you know, researchers, but like artists or filmmakers like us, if we give them a chance to express their anger, then that can help them to reserve that anger.
When I was watching the film, something that occurred to me is how what happened on Jeju-do, Jeju Island, is basically what happened to the entirety of Korea during not just the Korean War, but during Japanese occupation, with regards to how the women were faced the most violence. And that happens around the world. Anytime there is war or conflict, women and children are persecuted and victimized the most. And then once it's over, the conflicts are over, the women are expected to hold the trauma and the shame alone. And it made me think of how comfort women were expected to hold that shame alone while the government kind of denied that it happened. There was no support, and I can't imagine how much more isolating it was for the women on Jeju Island, because even other Koreans on the mainland didn't even know what happened on Jeju-do.
이거는 한국뿐만이 아니라 한국 전체 뭐 6.25 때도 그렇고 일제시대에도 되게 많이 겪었던 거고 또 다른 나라에서도 전쟁이 일어나면 결국 여성과 아이들이 이렇게 많은 걸 당하는데 끝나고 났을 때 여성들은 그 온전히 홀로 그거를 겪고 짊어져야 돼서 특히 여기서도 제주 섬인데 그 나라 한국 사람들조차 무슨 일이 일어나는지 모르고 있는 거니까 그런 생각이 든다.
Yeah, because like these women, like they, because I was doing some research, and even the Korean government only really started to acknowledge what happened on Jeju Island around 2012, 2014. That's when the, I think it was the President Ro, he made the official apology, but that was like 56 years after it happened, and these women have been waiting for acknowledgement. For all of this time, and it's not really mentioned in the film, but like, what kind of conversations did you have with them about them having about them seeing that the government actually acknowledged it after so long?
그러니까 그 그때 처음으로 이렇게 인정을 하고 정부가 사과를 했을 때 그것에 대해서 이 혹시 그 인터뷰하신 분들이나 그때 어떻게 느껴셨는지 이제 그래도 정부가 인정을 했고 이런 것들에 대해서 어떻게 그들이 생각하는지에 대해서 이야기 나누셨나요?
그때 노무현 대통령이 사과를 했을 때 어떤 느낌이 드셨냐라고 직접적으로 질문을 하면서 인터뷰를 받았던 건 없다. 하지만 제가 리서치를 하면서 뭐 기존 자료 영상이나 이런 걸 보면서 많은 사람들이 노무현 대통령이 사과했을 때 눈물을 흘리는 거는 이미 기존 푸티지 같은 데서 많이 봤습니다.
So she didn't really ask direct questions about what they felt when the president made the public apology, but through her data and footage, she's seen people crying. When he made that apology.
Yeah, the acknowledgement is the most important thing, I think, because it shows them that that it really did happen and that other people have acknowledged that it happened, you know, because that I think one of the things that really makes trauma last as long as it does is when people deny that it happened or, you know, pretend that it wasn't as traumatic as it was, because just because you're able to carry on your life doesn't mean that what happened didn't leave a severe impact on your life, you know, like just because you managed to get married or have kids, you know, or continue to work doesn't mean that the trauma disappeared, you know, especially when it happened on such a big scale, you know, like they lost like so many people in their lives.
인정이 결국 모든 거의 시발점인 것 같다. 이게 맞아요. 자기가 당한 일들이 부정됐을 때 그때가 제일 힘든 거고 그리고 내가 지금 결혼해서 애를 낳고 정상적으로 살고 있다고 나의 그 후유증이 없는 것이 아니다. 그건 맞아요. 남아있는 거기 때문에 이게 그게 굉장히 중요한
And I think like what really struck me not only with this film but even if we talk about what's happening around the world and in Palestine and other countries is I think what really for these women especially that really hurt them the most is that what happened to them happened through the acts of other Koreans. It was Korean men. This wasn't what happened on Jeju with the Jeju massacre. It wasn't done by the Japanese army. It was done by other Koreans.
그 특히 여기에서는 자기들한테 그 폭력을 가한 이들이 한국이라는 사실이 왜냐하면 일본인도 아니라 그게 더 커다란 충격이고 출지 않을까.
저도 인터뷰를 하거나 증언을 들으면서 제일 믿기지 않았던 게 어떻게 같은 민족끼리 다른 나라랑 전쟁을 하는 것도 아닌데 어떻게 같은 나라 사람들끼리 이렇게 참혹한 짓을 할 수가 있었지? 이게 제일 믿기지 않았었어요.
During my own research, also interviews, I couldn't believe that this kind of things, acts, were done by the same people. It was hard to believe.
Because it's, and I think that's one of the things about the Jeju massacre in particular, is because Koreans collectively, as a people, as a community, were fighting for liberation together. For so long, and then after they had liberation, their own people turned against them. You know, like Jeju Island was declared a red island because they feared it being a communist island. And like in the film, it really struck me how like these men were like the men that were killed, for instance, like the 80% of the men that were killed, they would have been working with the same people who turned around and betrayed them and attacked them. Like, I can't imagine, like, I think that's probably one of the, also the most traumatic aspects. Like, they were betrayed by their own people, the same people they were fighting for liberation for.
그 독립을 위해서 다 같이 운동을 했었을 텐데 그러다가 같이 운동했던 사람들한테 이 배반을 당한 것 같은 거죠. 그래서 그 사람들이 이 함께 생활하고 활동했던 사람들이 그들을 그렇게 몰아서 죽였다는 그 사실 자체가 어떻게 보면 가장 커다란 트라우마가 아닐까라고 생각을 한다.
And for you, like, how when you were making the film and you were doing all of your research, how did you yourself feel about the information that you got? You know, once you heard from people like Eunsung, you know, and the other lady is Hong Sung-gun, you know, and speaking to them, and like, how did you yourself process what they were telling you?
이뭐 김은순 할머니나 홍순경 할머니나 이렇게 인터뷰를 하면서 들은 정보들을 들었을 때 그게 본인은 어떤 식으로 그걸 소화를 하고 이해를 했느냐?
그게 어떻게 뭐 그게 어떤 질문이세요? 소화를 하고 이해를 했느냐는 게
그러니까 그런 정보들이 되게 뭐 아플 수도 있고 이렇잖아요. 그 그랬을 때 어떤 어떤 식으로 본인이 반응을 하는가?
일단 그 네 명의 저희 그러니까 김은순 할머니 말고 세 명의 할머니는 그래도 본인 이야기를 하려고 하시는 분이셨어요. 예. 근데 그분들이 하는 얘기가 사실 제가 태어나기도 전에 한국사긴 하지만 한국 전쟁보다 더 이전에 일어났던 일이라서 실제로 제가 겪었었던 일이 아니기 때문에 이해하려고 노력을 해야 됐었고 듣자마자 너무 힘드셨겠다 솔직히 솔직한 마음으로는 그렇게 직접적으로 감정이입이 되는 건 아니었어요. 왜냐면 어떻게 이런 일이 있을 수 있지? 그래서 그 할머니들이 얘기를 하시면 저는 그걸 가지고 또 자료를 찾아봤어요. 왜냐면 할머니들은 여기까지는 먼저 할까요?
So, except for the Kim Eun-sun, the other three ladies, they were actually eager to talk about their experiences, but their story happened even before the Korean War, month, like before she was born. So for her, when she listened to their stories, it wasn't like she felt immediate, instant empathy for them, because for her, it was too unbelievable. So after she listened to them, she had to go and look for the other materials, like the other data, to see what really happened. Yeah.
그래서 할머니들은 본인의 경험을 그냥 저한테 얘기하시고, 저는 그 얘기를 듣고 다시 찾아가면서 아 이게 연구가들한테서는 이런 제목으로 이 사건이 붙여졌구나. 예를 들어 김영렬 할머니가 아버지를 잃게 된 그 사건이 연구가들은 애월의 외도지서 장작 사건 이렇게 명명을 해놨구나. 이 사건은 이런 사건이었구나. 이렇게 해서 할머니들이 증언하는 그 사건을 저는 증언과 사료를 통해서 검증하면서 일단 이해를 했고요.
Yeah. So these ladies would just tell me their own personal experience. But then I would go look into the other materials that are compiled by the researchers, and I could match that. So this is named by these researchers as this kind of like the incident at certain like police station type of thing. So I had to do this interview testimony with the research together in order to understand the wholeness of the story.
그래서 그 사건에 대한 거는 그렇게 이해를 했고 할머니들이 그 사건 후에 굉장히 힘들게 그 인생을 살아오시고 또 제주라는 땅을 재건하시고 이랬었던 거는 그거는 그렇게 공감하는데 어렵진 않았어요. 왜냐면 들으면서 진짜 물질을 하면서 아들 3살짜리 아들을 도세 묶어놓고 물에 들어가서 해녀일을 할 수밖에 없었다는 그런 할머니들의 증언을 공감하지 못할 사람은 없을 것 같아요.
Yeah. So other than those like specific incident, the other story, how they survived and they carried on their life with difficulty, that was easy to emphasize. Actually, like this lady, in order for her to make living, she had to like tie her 3-year boy in a boat to go dive into the ocean. So these are things that anybody can easily relate to and feel sympathy for.
그리고 제주 여성들은 그러니까 저희는 자라면서 한국 어머니가 얼마나 위대한가, 한국의 어머니는 얼마나 강인한가 이런 이야기를 정말 학교 다닐 때부터 많이 들었고 또 나를 낳은 엄마도 그렇게 사셨으니까 아 한국 엄마 정말 대단하다, 한국 여성들 대단하다 이런 생각을 많이 하고 살았는데 그 생각 이상으로 상상을 초월해서 강인하게 살아온 게 제주 여성이었구나. 이거는 촬영하면서 내내 느꼈어요.
So as I was growing up, we were taught that how strong Korean women are because they went through so many hardships to carry on. Even my own mom, she carried such life. So I knew about how strong and great Korean women are. But as I was doing the research in Jeju Island, they are extraordinary. And that's all along during the whole process that I felt that.
I think so too. You mentioned the lady who had to tie her son to the ship mast. She was a Haeyeon, like the abalone and the clam divers. And the thing is, for us outside of Korea, we like for those of us familiar with Korean culture, we know about the Haeyeon, but we don't know like the past of these women, you know? So I like that you tied that part of the Korean culture and the female culture of Korea to their past because like we on the outside can like, say, oh, these women are so admirable. You know, like this is such a unique aspect of Korean culture, but then you're telling the audience, yeah, these women have a traumatic past, you know? Like they had to, like what makes them resilient as Haeyeon, like keeping up the culture is the resilience tied to surviving what happened during the massacre.
Yeah. 왜냐면 해녀라는 게 어떤 한국의 독특한 문화처럼만 인식이 되고 있었는데 이 이야기를 통해서 아 이분들이 그냥 훌륭하고 되게 뛰어난 사람들이 괜히 된 게 아니라 이렇게 아픈 과거들이 있고 그거를 정말 이렇게 이겨내는 치열하게 사셨구나라는 것을 알 수 있었다.
그렇게 이해해 주셔서 고맙습니다.
Thank you so much for understanding the story, like tying that one. Thank you.
I think it's important to tie the present to the past, especially for excuse me, because I think now one of the things like I mentioned to you before, one of my what I want to do, especially covering Korean cinema, is like so many people are caught up with Korean dramas and whatnot. I want people to understand Korean history and culture and like the different parts of it, you know, and not just the sensationalized aspects, you know, because for instance, there was a film shown at TIFF. I do not remember the name, but it was about it was set in the 70s and the female characters are Haeyeon. And while I was watching your film, I just kept thinking, these women are only like, what, 30, 40 years removed from what happened in 1948, but that's not really referenced in the film. And your film sets, gives context to all of that.
Milsu, that's the Korean title is Milsu.
네.
본인은 진짜 이 한국 시네마를 커버를 하면서 단순히 문화 만이 아니라 문화와 역사를 같이 해서 이렇게 해석을 하려고 하고 그래서 이걸 보면서 그때 토론토 영화제에서 봤던 밀수 같은 것도 생각을 했고 거기에서도 전쟁 이후 막 이렇게 여성들이 나오는데 그들의 백그라운드가 이런 게 있다라는 것 그것이 다 같이 간다는 거죠. 맞아. That's a great connection. Yes, that's true.
Yeah, because it's only like 30 years, like in the past, and like these women that were in the film would have been children while that was happening, and like it's not really referenced in the film, but it makes you think, oh wait, there would have been children while this was happening.
예, 그러니까 거기 밀수에 나왔던 주인공 그 해녀들은 어떻게 보면은 한국 역사상에서는 바로 이런 할머니들의 딸들이 거죠.
예. That's true. I think another thing that's important, I also noticed a lot of Korean films that set in the history talk about the Japanese occupation. Which is important because that is a significant part of Korean culture, especially with regards to Korean liberation and the fight for democracy. But apart from documentaries, I don't think there are any films, fictional films, that reference the Jeju massacre. So I think that's what makes films like yours so important, because you can't have a discussion about the fight for democracy without talking about Jeju Island, I think, because it's all tied together.
한국의 영화들을 보면 일제시대를 배경으로 한 거는 굉장히 많은데 다큐멘터리를 제외하고는 이러한 4.3 사건을 하는 건 없어서 이게 굉장히 중요하고 왜냐하면 정말 민주화, 민주주의에 대해서 이야기를 하려면 이러한 역사를 함께 들여다보지 않으면 안 된다.
맞다는 동의합니다.
Yeah, I totally agree. You have a great perspective on this.
Thank you. And before we wrap up, one of the things I do want to talk about regarding the technical aspects of the film, you include animation, drawing animation, which is in like the traditional, I think, Korean art style. What were the discussions you had with the artists and the animators who created those segments? Because they depict some of the most violent acts for the audience to really get a visual sense of it. Like one of them was a lady who was tied to a tree and she was brutally killed. It's done in a way that pays respect to what happened and like treats it with the reverence it deserves and solemnity, but it's still important for the audience to have a visual depiction of what happened. So can you talk about working with the animators and the artists for those segments?
애니메이션을 사용한 방법에 얘기를 하고 싶은데 되게 중요한 사건들을 애니메이션으로 했는데 굉장히 강렬한 사건이지만 애니메이션 자체는 그래도 그 사람들에 대한 존경이나 이런 것들이 보였다. 그래서 되게 중요한데 그 과정에 대해서
애니메이션이 정말 힘들었어요. 일단 애니메이션 작가의 스타일 를 존중해 주면서 하여튼 저희 프로듀서님이 굉장히 애니메이션 때문에 고생을 많이 하셨거든요. 어떤 스타일을 결정하고 또 작가를 선정하고 저는 이제 촬영 현장에 나가 있으니까 저희 프로듀서님께서 그런 일을 많이 이제 맡아서 해 주셨어요.
So animation was a very difficult process and I was in Jeju Island with the filming crew. And our creative producer, the main producer, actually took the role in choosing the animator and then the whole, throughout this whole creation of the animation. Yeah.
근데 이제 저희가 애니메이션이라는 표현 기법을 사용하자라고 했었던 거는 가장 필요했었던 이유는 뭐냐면 옛날에 일어났던 일이고 자료가 없고 영상이 없고 사진이 없으니까 이걸 어떻게 표현할 방법이 없어서 또 표현의 한 수법으로 더더군다나 할머니들, 제주 할머니들께서 말씀하시는 그 말 가지고는 그 당시의 상황을 상상하기가 힘드니까 일정 정도의 재현의 수단으로서 애니메이션을 사용하되 너무 그 상황을 사실적으로 그리지 말고 보는 관객들이 좀 더 정서적으로 확장할 수 있는 여유를 주면서 이 애니메이션을 좀 활용하자. 그게 기본 컨셉이었어요. 그러니까 디테일하게 그때의 어떤 상황을 정말 사진을 보듯이 그리지 말고 당시 할머니들이 느꼈을 법한 감정을 관객들이 느낄 수 있게끔 그런 이미지적인 차원으로 활용을 하자. 그게 제일 중요한 컨셉이었습니다.
The reason we decided to go with animation is because first of all, there is no data, no picture, no photos about that. And then the way these our characters described their incident was not really giving the sense of what really happened. Mm-hmm. So that's why we decided to go with the animation, but we didn't want it to be a realistic depiction of this incident. We want it to be something that can make the audience feel the emotions that our characters felt. So that's what's important, not a photo or photogenic description of the thing, because we wanted to give room for the audience feel, interpret in their own, also emotionally take it.
그러니까 성폭력을 당했었던 장면을 적나라하게 보여주는 게 목적이 아니라 그걸 당하거나 본 사람의 고통, 충격, 그거를 전달하고 싶었던
거죠. Our goal was not to deliver, convey what really happened. We wanted to convey the emotion felt by our characters. Our victims.
And it worked, and like there is very I think important that it was done in a style that wasn't like very colorful, you know. It looks like just like sketch drawings on a paper, and it really does, I think, in a sense almost make it seem like they're the ones drawing it themselves. Like if you were to ask them, can you draw what happened, it does give the sense. I think the animators did a fantastic job by making it seem as though these women are the ones who drew these images themselves, if they could.
거의 그 출연자분들이 그린 것 같은 느낌을 받았다고 그래서 굉장히 좋았다고 이게 또 컬러풀하지 않고 그들이 그냥 이렇게 스케치한 것 같은 느낌을 받았다.
그래서 저희가 처음에 목탄아풍의 화가를 찾았었어요.
그래서. So that's why we went for this artist who used this particular style. Yeah, that kind of style.
And for you, Sana, as one of the co-producers on the film, like what was it like for you working on the project and then just getting to see the final results and like learning about possibly things that you yourself didn't know?
So I came on board pretty late, but I've worked with her before. She's my favorite director in Korea. We've done fantastic work together, and also the main producer, she's the most respected woman in Korean. Not just documentary history, she's just an amazing woman. So I really respect their work. You know, and this is the first time they work together. So for me, it's like coming on board is great, but I came on board in the later part. I did a translation of the subtitles, but that during that process, I learned every scene. You know, for me to translate that Jeju to Korean to English, you know, I had to really understand the depths of their story, and it's so traumatic. I got angry while I was translating. But the whole editing and everything was done in such a respectable and powerful way that I was deeply moved. So right now my goal is to really promote this film in the international place, that this, like you said, this is not just a Korean history, you know, it's communal trauma and how to deal with it, and this is an ongoing present story actually. So I really like to find the venues that can play this one and has impact for their own people who's going through their own communal trauma.
And I think that's important, especially with, like, it's important that the world learns, I think, about Jeju and what happened here, because Jeju Island is, I was just in research, I guess like 15 million visitors a year, and it's a UNESCO heritage site and all of this, and people visit it and they'd be like enamored with how beautiful it is, but they have no idea what happened there, you know, like for instance, like the women built the stone walls, like it was the women who did that, and people would be like, oh, this is beautiful landmarks and all of this, and like they have no idea that these walls were built because the army, the people were trying to keep them in, you know, like they weren't even allowed to walk, say, what, 5 kilometers past certain limits in the waters, and like those walls were built. They can judge people in on their own island, and I think it's important that people get that context.
You have such a deep understanding of this. It's so wonderful to be here with you together.
Thank you.
That's the goal of this film. You know, we want people. Yeah.
제가 놀랐던 거는 제가 육지 사람이고 그래서 제주도에 그 역사를 제주도 사람이 더 잘 다룰 수 있지 않을까. 내가 감히 이 제주의 비극을 잘 다룰 수 있는 자격이 있는 걸까 하고선 되게 좀 회의가 든 적도 많았거든요. 근데 용기를 가졌던 게 그 성담, 제주도 사람들이면 성담의 역사를 다 알 줄 알았어요. 밭담도 알 줄 알았고. 근데 모르는 거예요. 그 돌에 새겨진 제주의 역사를 제주 사람들도 모르는 사람들이 많았어요. 그래서 아, 내가 만들 수 있겠구나. 제주 사람들도 모르는 사람들이 많구나. 그래서 그런 데서 좀 용기를 얻곤 하기도 했거든요.
So in the beginning, I had doubts. I was a little skeptical because I'm not an islander. I'm from the mainland. So am I entitled to do this story? But then after a certain time, I realized that not even all, it's not like the average people know the history of the stone walls. There are so many people who don't know anything about it. So that's why, as an outsider, I can still tell this story from their own perspective.
But you're still Korean, right?
Yeah.
You're a Korean woman, and that's part of your history. That's what gives you the right. And like for me, I'm an outsider. I'm from the Caribbean. I'm from Barbados, but I relate to this so much in particular because Barbados is a former slave colony. You know, we were a former colony of the British Empire. We only we gained independence in 1966, and only like 2 years ago became a republic, completely breaking with the British colony. But me being a black woman from the Caribbean, from Barbados, can kind of relate to the story of the women in Jeju Island, because our island is beautiful, but it has such a traumatic history and has such a traumatic past, you know, like visitors. Like, that's why you mentioned like the UNESCO people visit the island every year. We are but they come, they want to go to the beaches, you know, they want to go for the carnival festivals and all of that. But then I'm like, but are you even really fully aware of like the history of like the buildings that you see, you know, like these buildings you see are plantations, you know, the farmland you see where enslaved people were like held and killed and like tortured, you know. And so like there's that similarity that I see with Jeju.
Yeah,
that's
그러니까 예 이해가 됐어. 예, 그러니까 이렇게 굉장히 자기 나도 이렇게 공감하는 거야. 나도 그 캐리비안의 그 노예국으로 영국의 노예지로 오래 살다 66년도에 독립한 거기서 왔기 때문에 그래서 굉장히 많은 관광객들이 와서 막 해변을 즐기고 막 하는데 거기 있는 건물 이런 것들은 다 그 플랜테이션 그리고 노예들이 거기에서 학대받고 죽임을 당하고 하던 그런 것들이라고 그래서 그런 역사들을 좀 알아야 되지 않겠느냐 그냥 그렇게 즐기는 게 아니라 항상 그런 생각을 했기 때문에 너무 공감을 한다.
And you mentioned so my last question is you mentioned the Jeju language and having to interpret from that to Korean. I was doing some research, and again I didn't know that Jeju had, I figured it had a dialect, but it has its own language, you know, and that's if like that's not preserved the same way as if the history isn't acknowledged and preserved, that could also like disappear, right? And I think the film does mention the language a little bit, like some of the women do talk about it, but like for you, I wanted to ask, if you were to make another film, would you make a film about the language of Jeju?
혹시
제주에 대한 거
이거 한 보면서 자기도 이게 약간의 그 지역 사투리 정도라고 생각했는데 거의 제주어라는 게 따로 있는 것 같은데 자꾸 사라지고 있는데 혹시 다음 영화는 그 제주어에 대해서 혹시 만들어보고 싶잖아요.
그거는 제주에 살고 있는 문화예술인들이 그 작업을 하고 있어요. 네, 그래서 이미 그 제주어 사라지는 제주어를 보존해야 된다 하는 인식들이 굉장히 강하기 때문에 제주도 문화예술인들 또 그중에는 다큐멘터리 하는 사람도 있는 걸로 알고 있어요. 그래서 그분들이 잘 해낼 거라고 기대하고 있습니다.
There are many local Jeju artists, including filmmakers, are actually doing that job to preserve their language. So I think they will do a good job. Yeah.
Hopefully, I get to see a film about that because I think it's interesting that the island had its own language and everything. But thank you so much, Hyewon and Suna, for talking to me. Like, I really appreciate it, and thank you for making the film. I think it's very important.
Thank you so much.